Hey, how y'all doing? Back again, another episode of the It Factor. As always, I'm your host, Jeremy Robinson. And today we have someone special. Go ahead and introduce yourself, man.
Man, I appreciate you having me, brother. First off, I mean, my name is David Kitchen. Everybody calls me Kitch or Coach Kitch. I don't think there's anybody really left that calls me David other than Mama Dukes when I'm in trouble. So I try and avoid hearing that as much as I can. But I'm the founder and president of Edge Leadership Academy, former Division One coach, man. But before all that, I'm a brother, I'm a son, I'm a friend, I'm a lot of things. I wear a lot of hats, man. But I'm excited to have this conversation.
That's dope. I'm excited to have you on. So with that, I would say, how are you doing mentally, physically, and emotionally?
Man, that's you come out with these big questions right out the gate, bro. I mean, honestly, man, I'm in a great place, man. I'm at a place now. If I had to use one word to describe it, man, it's peace. You know what I'm saying? I'm walking in my purpose, and I get to wake up every day, man, and work with people that I love and do what I love. And it's I couldn't be any better, man. Couldn't be any better. I mean, physically, we're always chasing the giant, right, man? As a former athlete, like you're always trying to hold on to what you had. So that's always a challenge, especially with the schedule of an entrepreneur and doing that stuff, but doing a better job of prioritizing that, right? And so that's extremely important. And I love that you asked, how you're doing mentally. I th think I'm a huge mental health advocate. I'm somebody that struggles with depression, anxiety myself. And so anytime somebody wants to cut through the nonsense and ask that real question, like, how are you mentally? Like, I think that is so important, man, especially as a man of color. Like, we don't talk about it enough. We're supposed to be stoic. We're supposed to be okay all the time. And sometimes it's okay to not be okay, man. I mean, luckily for me right now, I'm in a good place, man. Like I said, I'm protecting my peace. I'm enjoying what I do. I joke about it a lot, but I said, man, I'm at a point in my life where I just want to do dope stuff with dope people. Like that's what I'm trying to do with my life right now, and I've been fortunate to be able to do that so far.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I mean, I remember I put that question in, and my best friend, we were sitting there. He was like, "I like that you asked it. Like, I can't." And I was like, "Hey, how I'm gonna ask somebody to come on an interview, and they go out throughout their whole life, and nobody? It's a whole year probably passed by. Somebody said, how you doing mentally, physically, emotionally, man? You all right? You good? Okay,
Facts,
cool.
facts.
Let's go do this thing." So I think before you get into the nitty gritty, those are things that need to be addressed so we can have us a great conversation and I can.
No, no doubt.
So you're a part of a network. We care. Like, definitely. So
Facts.
definitely.
Let me flip it back on you, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. The sun's out. It's a good day. I got time to spend time with my wife today, so that was good. And got some things done even faster in the week than I thought I would. So actually was a good day, man. And mentally, I would say I'm at a good place. Like you said, I'm at a place of peace. So trying to strive to keep doing that, man. And every day I get to do these episodes, I'm like, okay, cool. We good to go.
That's absolutely, absolutely, man. Absolutely.
So yeah, man. So my next question would be, so what got you into becoming a college football coach, and how was that journey for you?
Yeah, it was a long journey. So honestly, I didn't want to coach. So I got medically disqualified in college. I ended up blowing my knee three times. And so the game was taken away from me. And so, like a lot of people, man, I was kind of sour grapes about it. Like, I didn't want to be around football. I didn't want anything to do with it. Everybody was telling me in my life, like, it's over, like, let it go. And so I got into sales, and I actually graduated with a business degree, and I started selling cloud systems to small businesses and medium businesses in Pennsylvania. And I was making money, dude. Like, it was a good time to be in that field, because it was like 2014, 2015. So it was like when the cloud stuff was really getting introduced and really getting off and running. And so financially, it was great. But the problem was, it was eating at my soul every single day, man, every single day. And so I remember being at our Christmas party, and I'm looking around and I'm seeing the other sales reps, and we just got our Christmas bonuses, and I see them, smoking cigars and drinking scotch and doing the thing. And I remember going outside, and I'm in the middle of Pennsylvania, so it's freezing cold outside. I'm outside, no jacket on, and I'm just cold. And I remember looking up at the sky, and I'm just like, this is not what I want to do with my life. Like, this is not success to me. This is not happiness to me. And so literally within a couple of days, man, I went home and I sat down at my kitchen table, and I hand wrote letters to every coach on the East Coast in the Division One level. And I said, I will come work for you for free. I'll quit my job right now if you just give me an opportunity. And I was fortunate to get an opportunity at Robert Morris University out in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And so I quit my job. I loaded everything I had into my Jeep and I drove to Pittsburgh, man. And I never looked back. And it set me up on this 10-year career that allowed me, as a guy from small town USA, to first off get a master's degree. But second off, I got to see culture. I got to see leadership. I got to see high performance. I got to see the ins and be at the quote unquote the show, you know, and make my way all the way to Division One. I had a ton of stops along the way and was fortunate to at one point be the youngest head strength and conditioning coach in all of college athletics. And so when I was 25 years old, just turned 25, 24, became the youngest head strength coach in all of college athletics. And then I was the youngest assistant director in Division One football. And so, you know, I was able to just put together this career that was, you know, I couldn't have written it any better, you know, and it was an unbelievable experience, man, surrounded by unbelievable people.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I would say in that, what is your it factor then? Why do you do what you do?
Yeah, man, I think from a professional perspective and the it factor, I think that gave me some of the opportunities that I had is my ability to connect with people. Like throughout my entire coaching career, I always said relationships are more important than rings, right? So like if you look behind me, you see all these helmets and stuff. There's only one championship ring, it's right there. And I only took that because it was my 10th year, right? That's the only reason that I have that. I don't have any of the other rings that I won throughout my career. I never took one. Because to me, it was always about the relationships. It was about the people that I was able to impact. It was about the young men and young women that I was helping become better people and go out and be successful in life. Like that's what I was about. And so I think from a professional standpoint, that was what made me special. That was the it factor for me. And it's part of what we do as a business now. Like I said, relationships over rings as a coach. Now I say connection over content as an entrepreneur. And so it's the same principles, right? And so when I say why do I do what I do? Man, I'm from a single parent household. I watched my mom grind it out. I watched my mom set the example of what it means to get up and go to work. And so for me, man, every day I get out of bed and I just think, how can I impact people? And ultimately, my vision in life is to leave a legacy for my family to be proud of. Like I want my kids to be able to look at pictures of me and be like, hey, like we're proud that he was part of our family. I want my family now to be able to walk down the street and have somebody come up to them and say, hey, David made us better. You know, Coach Kitch helped our program. Coach Kitch helped me as a person. He helped me as a man. He made my marriage better. He helped me do this. He made me a better leader in the community. Like to me, my legacy is that, right? So that's my it factor is that I'm chasing that vision every single day.
Got you. And I love that. I love that. I love that question. Because if you go back to all the episodes I had, it's so amazing to see what people it factors are. And I would say the driving factors of like, dang, that's the legacy you want to leave behind. Okay, I'm with it. I'm behind that
Yeah.
100%.
No
So
doubt.
being a two-time author myself, you know, what led you to want to write some book and leave that type of legacy and be an author? Because I know being an author is a lot, but hey, I love
Oh,
what you're doing. So how did you do it?
it's humbling, man. It's humbling to put yourself out there like that, right? Like people don't realize you are literally putting your words on paper for the whole world to judge and everybody to tell you, like, you might be crazy. You might be completely off. You might think you had a great book and you had a great idea, and then it could get published, and people could be like, "What is this dude talking about?" You know, and so it's a humbling experience, man. But for me, I felt it was really important to get the lessons out. You know, I felt that it would be selfish for me, having been able to sit in these rooms with these people and having been able to build the career that I had built and spend as much time as I did around high performing people and building leaders. Like I felt like it was selfish for me to keep those lessons to myself. And so that was the first book was The Pyramid, right? And so I thought to myself, okay, if I was a coach and I needed to build leadership skills in my team, I need something that I could read in a bus ride home or read quickly that I can implement it right away. Like I didn't need a 400 page, you know, thesis on leadership. Like that's not what we're looking for here. It's like, how do I do this today with my team? If I'm a high school coach, if I'm a college coach, how do I implement this stuff? And so what I did is I took all those lessons that I had learned throughout my career and throughout my master's in psychology and then, you know, the first half of my PhD in psychology. And so I'm like, all right, time out. Let me just take all the execution pieces. Let me take all of the step by step. This is how I would do it. And so I distilled that down to about 60 pages. And I made sure I gave myself a page limit. I said, I want this to be as clear as possible so that people read this and they can use it today. Right. So that's what the first book was. And the second one, man, the scoreboard. So that was a little bit more personal for me. The scoreboard is it's an audit system that I use myself. And so where that came from was people started to ask me and I started to get DMs and stuff. And this was when early on when I was starting to build my personal brand. So I wasn't who I am now yet. I was still kind of just branching out and getting the hang of the social media game and kind of putting myself out there a little bit more. I had written the first book. But like I said, I didn't quite have the following or the community that I have now. And so people were reaching out to me and asking, you know, hey, how do you do these things? How do you build these habits in your life? How are you on this trajectory that you're on? Like, you just walked away from a D1 coaching contract, built a business, and now you're speaking on stages. Like, there has to be something here that makes sense. Right. And so I had in my personal life, I had done these audits where every couple months in my life, I would sit down and examine my relationships, my finances, my mental health, my emotional health, my physical health, like how I was sleeping, all those things. And I would journal all that stuff. And so that was where it started. And then over time, I had built this system and people were asking me and I was like, okay, let me just put it all in one place for them. Mm-hmm. And I'll just, so I started by just giving it away for free. And then my friends started to come to me and they're like, dude, you could write a second book. Like this is gold, man. This is legit. And so that's where the actual like text came from. So the actual charts and the worksheets that are in there are literally my interpretation from my journals of how I did it. Right. So it was literally like, I looked at my journal. I was like, all right, here's how I wrote this out. Let me create a worksheet around it so other people could have it. And then what I did is filled it in with the information. So I filled it in with the psychology behind it, why these things work, why it's important, how they interact, all that stuff. So the text came from my research and from my background, but the actual worksheets came from my own life. And it was how I did it. And it's still to this day, man, it's something that I love to help people with. And so every year in January, I give it away for free. So I revamp it every year and do a new version. And every January, from January 1st to January 31st, anybody that DMs me through social media, I give it to them for free.
Got you. I need that. Look, I need that right there.
I got you. We're a little late, but I'll get it to you.
I got to give you my second book. My first one too. But my second one is like yours, man. People start asking me, like, how did you interview this person? How did you do this? And I sat there with my wife. I was like, you know what? I should have written my second book. And I'm going to tell how I do it. And it, every time, after it's been multiple people that finished reading, it's like, yeah, I still want to know. And I'm like, well, you read it. You know this song. So this is literally how it's no secret sauce. This is how it is. This is what I do. You know,
and facts, man. Facts.
You got to be able to connect with people. You got to be able to. I know.
And it's key. No matter what you do, it's the relationship game.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So I would say, so tell me about your company, Creating Edge Leadership. What went into that, man? And like, how is that for you?
it's my pride and joy, man. That's my pride and joy. You see it up there on that custom helmet up behind me. You got the logo up there. Yeah. So it's man, again, it's Edge is the representation of the things and the lessons that I learned throughout my career and throughout my education. So what happened was I was at the Division I level, but I knew I wanted to do something different. I was coaching men's basketball as a strength and conditioning coach at Georgia Southern University. And I had a young man on my team that was the best leader that I had ever coached, man. He's making a lot of money playing his sport now. And he came in my office and he said, Coach, I've been the best player on every team I've ever been on. And everybody's always telling me to lead, but nobody ever taught me how. And I was like, oh, okay, if this dude feels that way, how many other people feel that way? Because on the outside looking in, he's a great leader. He does everything you ask him to do. He's phenomenal. People respect him, all these things. And so throughout my career, I had built leadership councils. I had built culture building programs for different teams that I had worked with. I had done mentorship programs. And so I had kind of all this curriculum in different places. And so what I did is I just sat down and I put it all together. And I was like, okay, this could be a step-by-step guide of how to build leaders, how to build culture within an organization. And so when the pandemic hit, Our head coach took another job, so he got the opportunity to go be the head coach of James Madison University. And at that level, when somebody on the staff leaves, when the head coach leaves, everybody else is tied to him. So like if he leaves, like you don't know if you have a job. You're kind of in this weird space where you can either bet it all and say, hey, I'm good. I'm just going to wait for him to call me and I'll go with him to his next school. Or you can go in and tell your athletic director, hey, I want an opportunity to interview with whoever you're bringing in. Now, once you go one direction and you make your call, you can't walk it back. You know what I'm saying? So you got this decision to make. You can either roll the dice or roll the dice a different direction. You know, either way, it's kind of a guessing game. And so I stayed and I interviewed with the new head coach, and he ended up offering me a contract extension and a pay raise. And it was like a movie moment, man. He slid the contract and I was just like, I can't do it. Like I want to go do something different, man. So I called my family. I was down in Georgia at the time. My family was in Pennsylvania. Called them and said, hey, I'm quitting. And they're like, what? You just did all of it? Like, and I'm like, I'm out. I'm done. I'm going to go launch a business in the middle of the pandemic. Like, let's get it, you know? And so I went home and I Googled, how do you start an LLC? And you know, that's how Edge Leadership Academy started, man. And so, flash forward 3 years, you know, we're at the point now where we've worked with hundreds of clients. We have 35 NCAA programs that we work with. I also do one-on-one coaching for CEOs, entrepreneurs, all types of executives, coaches. We do a coaches academy every year. It's an unbelievable journey that we've been on. And I now, one of my business partners was one of my high school teammates and he was one of my best friends. And so I get to, like I said, I get to wake up every day and do what I love with people that I love, you know, and it's an unbelievable ride. And we've gotten to the point now where we do so many different things. Like one day I could be given a workshop to, you know, CEOs and CFOs and all these C-suite executives. And then the next day I could be doing a culture workshop with a high school football team. And so it's every day is a little bit different and we have all these different services that we offer, but they're all connected to leadership, culture, and high performance, right? So whether it's a keynote address, a commencement speech, a workshop, one-on-one coaching, a full leadership council for a program, like a culture rebrand for a college coach, we've done those. Anything involved in those things, we do it. And so to me, man, it's so fun because I get to be surrounded by people that want to be the best versions of themselves and want to bring out the best in their business or in their relationships or whatever. And so it's so fortunate. And the one-on-one coaching that I do is one of the most rewarding things that I can do as well, because it's, you work with everybody. Like I work with, you know, one of my clients is a physical therapist. Another client works in a, in the logistics field. So they do shipping. I have another client that is in sales, and it's like, you get to work with all these different people and understand their leadership challenges, but also help them lead themselves. Like also help them become the best version of themselves. Right. And so my daily mission is to bring out the best version in everybody that I come in contact with. So whether it's a 7-Eleven clerk or my business partner, I want to bring the best version of you out. And so my business now allows me to do that in so many different ways, man. So that's Edge Leadership Academy. Our whole motto is built, not born.
Got you. And I like that. That's so fulfilling. Like that's very fulfilling, man. I love what you're doing. Like even when I started, I said, you know what? I'm glad we got in touch with each other. But once you research someone, and that's what I like about podcasting, you start to see like there's layers to this person and they all are positive. Like I really need people to see this because it's like, man, I always say, hey, it should be more of me in the on earth, man. I say, you know what? Every time I interview somebody, I get to see a piece of me in people. And I would say today I have actually seen that, man. I'm proud of
you. Man, I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah.
So with you having such a great career in coaching and sales before that, and also now your business that you do different things every day, which is amazing. I would say, what have been some of your highlights as that coach and now in your profession that you are in now, man? What has been some highlights?
Man, that's such a crazy question to ask, because I'm not somebody that focuses on highlights. Like, I'm the worst at that. Like, everybody in my life always tells me, like, you need to celebrate yourself more and you need to, you know what I mean? I'm not somebody to go and look for a pat on the back and tell me a good job. Like, so that's a tough question for me. I guess Some of the big moments for me when I look back at coaching, obviously becoming the youngest head strength coach in the country was a huge honor, to be able to do that. And, I didn't even know it had happened, if we're being honest. Like, I had no idea. Somebody else told me, and I was already in the job for a couple months, and they were like, "Yo, you're the oldest. You're the youngest in the country." I was like, "What?" And then they pulled up the data, and I was like, "Oh man, I didn't even know that." So that was cool. And some of those moments, man, that you can't even put words to, like when USC opening weekend, like to be in the Coliseum on the opening weekend of college football and running out onto that field with the team. Like, I remember we were running out of the tunnel and I stopped for a second and my boss was like, came up behind me and I'm like, "Oh, my bad, my bad." And he had played in the NFL. And so he stopped me and he goes, "No, stay here. Take this in for a second." He's like, "This is a special feeling. You'll never forget this." And I was like, "You're right." And so those moments were unbelievable. I mean, I got a laundry list of moments that are just things you'll never forget. Coaching in Aloha Stadium, growing up an NFL fan, like the history that's there. Coaching against USC, we got the opportunity to go to Auburn. We played against Georgia when Anthony Edwards was there in basketball, so I got to see him live. There was a lot of moments like that that were just unbelievable. And then to be able to transition into Edge and do the things that we do now, like I look at one of my favorite things from Edge that we do is our campus tour. So every summer we go on the road and we travel to different college campuses and we work with them, whether it's football coaches, basketball coaches, whatever. We coach the coaches. And it's so fun, man. We were down in Miami last year with the University of Miami football. So you see their gift to me over there on the wall there. That was a gift from their coaches. And so, like, that was unbelievable, man, to be down there. And again, all the history that's in there. And then to win, as a speaker, to start to win some of these awards that I've won, to win an award from that's presented by somebody like Eric Thomas and Inkie Johnson, to be, mentioned in the same breath with them is unbelievable, let alone to be receiving an award from them, was not something that I ever saw coming. So when they reached out to me and let me know that I'd won, I was like, man, I didn't, like, to the point where I didn't go to the ceremony because I was like, there's no chance. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's so many other talented speakers out there in this world, and Inky and ET run the group. And so I'm like, there's no way I'm gonna win. Like, I've only been doing this for 2, 3 years now. Like, I'm a rookie compared to some of these other dudes that have been being mentored by them for years and years and years. And so they reached out to me and were like, "Bro, you won. Like, you weren't even here, so those are some of the highlights, man. But ultimately, all those things, none of those things compare to being at the point now, as an entrepreneur, where I can be around my family when I want to be, right? Like I don't have to call somebody and ask to go see my family. Like, I just go, and so to be able to do that and share this life with my friends and my family is, that's the ultimate highlight.
Indeed, indeed. And I would say before we do close, man, that's how I feel. I thought at first, like, oh, people always come, man, you interview son. So, and I'm like, I'm not caught up in the names no more, man. They people. I was
Right.
like, I'm
That's
glad I'm doing it. I'm doing a service to people. I want people to look at this later on and say, wow, Jeremy really did that and joke with my friends. I'm going to enjoy that more than anybody ever giving me notoriety. So I definitely agree with you. My wife had to tell me, hey, you should be proud of. And I'd be like, all right, I'll print a picture out and I'll do that. Before I ask, telling me I'm the greatest at this, I'm like, ah, oh, nah. So I agree with that, man. I would say, before we do close, what are some things that you would like to be remembered for once it's all said and done?
Man, just the way I made people feel. Like I want people to feel like they are capable of anything when they're around me. Like, I want people to feel like, first off, that they're enough, and like who they are, and feel confident in that. That's what I want people to understand. I want them to understand that if I can do this, anybody can do it, because I'm not special, bro.
Yes,
I'm not special. I just work hard. Like, I'm not smarter than anybody. I'm not more talented. I'm not anything. I'm just willing to get up early and work. Like, that's what it comes down to. And so if I could leave lessons for people, it's take big swings. Like, your life could be completely different in a couple decisions. You know, like you just gotta go out and swing out of your shoes and go for it, you know, and understand. And like you said, you don't get caught up in the names. Like when you start to get in the rooms and you get around people, you start to realize, oh, they're human. Oh, he or she makes mistakes. Oh, they're not special, right? Like, and then it's then you then the glasses come off, and all of a sudden you realize what's capable, what or what's available for you. Like you realize what's possible for your life. And so, you know, I want to be remembered as somebody that helped as many people as possible take those glasses off and see what's possible for their life. And I say all the time, man, a life in the arena is a life well spent, right? So I want to get people out of the stands and into the arena of their life. That's what I want it to be, man. So, you know, when it's all said and done, I hope there's a line out the door. I hope it's standing room only at my funeral. And I hope it's a lot of people talking about how I help them, you know, become the best versions of themselves and how I made them feel like they were capable of everything. You know, I joke and say one of the side effects of hanging out with me is that you might feel like you could do anything. You know, you're going to get extreme confidence from hanging around me. And so that's what I want people to remember me for, man.
I love that. I love that. I always say, do you have any questions for me?
Man, first off, what made you start doing this? Like, what was it? Where did this come from?
Yeah, so I was in college, and like any college student, I was sitting there like in the class, and I started computer science. I'm like, okay, I'm a major in computer science and engineering, and at first it's easy, like okay, cool. But then classes get hard, so course got hard. I'm like, man, I remember praying and saying, hey God, if you get me through this situation, I'm gonna do something to give back. I don't know what it is, you know. So you graduate, you get the job, you're good, like. And the crazy thing is, I told this story so many times, but every time I'm like, wow, I can't believe I'm doing what I said I would do. Literally years later passed. I'm sitting there with one of my friends that's my editor and videographer to this day. And we were sitting there talking. He's like, hey man, you know a lot of people. I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. He's like, bro, you should start a podcast, man. And I'm like, all right, you know, let's do it. And at that time, 2019, people were podcasting, but I wasn't seeing it all the time, and it was more radio based. So I was like, you know, we're gonna do a visual, in person, or virtual, a podcast. I'm gonna see how it goes. And to be doing it for 5 years, I tell you, I can't even imagine it, man. I'm just thankful to be able to give back to people and hear y'all journeys, man. Y'all helped me, definitely.
No
So I
doubt, no
love
doubt.
doing it.
I love it, man. You know, it's so funny you say that because I say all the time about our podcast, like if I never make a penny from the podcast, I don't care. Because it's like I've gotten so much value from just listening to people and just hearing their stories and being able to connect with people like yourself. Like I love it, man. So I want you to know, I don't know if anybody's told you lately, but I appreciate you.
Thank you, man. That means a lot, brother. And I'm a post a snippet tonight. That's what I usually do. This gonna come out. I'm in season 5 now, so it's gonna come out in season 6. But I'm gonna tell you this: I want to stay in touch with you, like I stay in touch with everybody else. Because what you're doing is life changing, man, and is
I
needed.
appreciate that.
Oh,
I
definitely.
appreciate that,
And
man.
to
Yeah,
make that
definitely.
transition like you have made, man, that's amazing. That's how it's supposed to be. You're literally supposed to transition into something to where you can see your family and friends and your people and be around them.
It's the
That's what it's
key. It's the
all
key. It's the
about.
key to it, bro. It's the key, man. Like my brother had a cancer battle. My younger brother had a cancer battle this past year, and to be able to be at chemo with him every single day, like, bro, it was unbelievable. You know, like how many people can do that? How many people can be there for those moments in life? And especially for me, because I spent the first 10 years as a coach missing all those moments. Because I was traveling, I was gone, I was working 70 hours a week. Like, and then all of a sudden, now I'm in this place where I get to do that stuff and be around my family, man. I wouldn't trade it for the world, man.
Got you. I definitely commend you for that also, man. 'Cause I think about my boy, one of my best friends, man. He's a high school coach now, wants to be a college coach. And we were sitting there having a conversation out this season. And he was like, I don't know if I can keep doing this, man. And I'm like, oh,
Yeah.
what? He like, coaching, man, I can't see y'all. I can't do this. And I'm like, hey, it's a sacrifice for what you're doing right now to what you're ultimately gonna be doing. Just look
Facts.
at it like that.
Facts.
The more you look at that like that and say how you want to separate from it, the more you're gonna be able to go towards that thing.
Facts. 100%, man. Well, definitely stay in touch with me if there's ever anything I could do to support you guys, man. Please don't hesitate. Like I'm a super laid back dude. If there's something I can do to help you out with the show or whatever, if there's a connection you want me to make, like I'm always open.
Definitely. Thank you for that saying to me, man. You ever need anything, let me know and reach out. And I look forward to talking to you more often, man. And I just love what you're doing. Look, I already know we're gonna collaborate more often, man.
Oh,
Thank
count it, count
you.
it, count it. We'll be on some stuff, man. I appreciate you.
Indeed. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, see you, man.